Amen, and thank you, Brother Sean. All right, from the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, I'm going to share with you two verses, and this course is where Jesus is establishing the Lord's Supper, and he says in verse 19 and verse 20, "And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now, I usually do a devotion, I guess, when we have the Lord's Supper, so it won't last very long. I try, and sometimes I get carried away, and it lasts longer than I planned for it to. But this passage of Scripture, and here's the title. Here's what I'm going to share with you tonight: Making the Lord's Supper Personal. Personal. And so I think there's some unique things about this that I can bring out in these two verses of Scripture. And it's interesting, when you study the Bible or you approach the Word of God, and you're looking for something, and what I mean when I say that is that we know that the Lord speaks to His children through His Word. He speaks to them. In other words, it's not just the words on the page, but the Holy Spirit will call our attention to something that is unique or special in a passage of Scripture. And I know for myself, where I teach and preach the Word all the time, that I'm always looking. I'm always looking. Over the years, that's gotten to be a habit that I have, and it's a good one, I think. But I'm looking for something that stands out in the Word. And when I read these two verses, I'm going to tell you what I saw. I'll tell you what stood out in these two verses. And that's why I gave the message the title that I did. So I'm going to read verse 19 and 20 again. And keep in mind, making the Lord's Supper personal. Personal. And here's what it says: "And he took bread, gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given," and here's the two words, "for you." Is given for you. Now, wouldn't you love to have been there in that setting? And Jesus himself talking to the disciples, he says, "For you, for you." And then in the 20th verse, he says, "Likewise, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament," or New Covenant, "in my blood, which is shed for you," which is shed for you. Now, I know, I teach this all the time, believe it firmly myself, is that the Lord's Supper is a local church ordinance, and thus we all participate in that together. We participate in that as a church family, and that's the right way to do that. The Lord gave the ordinances to His church, and we understand that we don't take the ordinance any other way other than in that setting, as the church is assembled, and we believe that, and we teach that. And of course, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, we find that statement: when you come together in the church, in the church setting, that's when the Lord's Supper is to be observed. But there's something, there's a personal element to it. And note when I say this, and I'll explain what I'm talking about, there's a personal part of that at the exclusion of all others, of everybody else, everybody else. In other words, what I'm saying, the point that I'm making, you know, the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves. That's something that's taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 28. It says, let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat. And we understand what that means. We take a stock of ourself, of our life, of our attitudes or whatever, and I'm sure that all of you have done that. I do that every time we have the Lord's Supper. I take stock of that kind of thing, is that we're to examine ourselves. But I want to tell you something unique about that statement there. we're not to examine everybody else. And so that's what I mean when I say that there's a personal element to the Lord's Supper. There's something where, regardless of everybody else, I need to examine myself. I need to take stock of myself. And so I know there have been times over the years when in taking the Lord's Supper, there probably has been people that shouldn't have done that. I know that for a fact, not because I was judging anybody, but there was, over the years, people who participated in the Lord's Supper. I remember one time years ago that there was a teenager wasn't even saved. He'd never made a profession of faith. He'd never been baptized. He certainly wasn't a member of the church. And boy, when the plate went around, he reached and grabbed it and he took part in that. Now, that was ignorance on his part. And I mean, I wasn't judgmental of that. But you see things like that. And so there might be those that, without judging anybody, might be guilty that we know about of an ungodly walk, taking the Lord's Supper. And I could give a couple illustrations of that in experience that I've had over the years. I won't do it because they haven't died yet. And they may hear me preach about it. And I've said this before. I was going to write a book about different experiences I'd had, but I got to wait till they pass away before I can do it, because they would know exactly who it was and everything. But anyway, at the exclusion of everybody else, this is the personal part of that we experience. Now let me say a little bit about the text. Who it is that Jesus is talking to. In verse 14 of this chapter, it says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him." That is who he's talking to, the 12 apostles. As a matter of fact, that was his church. At that point in time, they were the only ones that were a part of the New Testament church. Jesus had called them out, and he had they was his believers, and so there was a lot of other people that were excluded when Jesus is talking to these 12. As a matter of fact, his own mother was not there. Lazarus was not there. Mary and Martha weren't there. And so these are his apostles, the Bible says there in verse 14. So this is his church. I think it's interesting that you get over to the book of Acts, and in the first chapter in the 15th verse, it says this, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and then in parentheses it says in that verse, and the number of names together were 120. So we might take from that church which had 12 members when in our text had grown to 120. I don't know that for sure, but I believe that they represented his church. And then when you get on over in the second chapter and verse 41, it says, and of course Peter's preaching, it says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the church is growing and everything. But the point is, in this passage of Scripture, this is who this is that he's talking to. So this small number makes that really personal when he is looking them right in the eye and saying, I gave my body for you, or I shed my blood for you. Now, wouldn't you like to have been there in that setting? Wouldn't you have liked to have been, have our Lord look at you right in the eye and say, this is what I did, and I did it for you? You'd say, well, that would be an awesome experience. Well, I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, tonight. Where we're gathered together like we are, he's here. He is here. We can't reach out and touch him or see him, but he's here. And the Bible's very clear about that, that he's present with us. And so I will tell you that he is present, and we can hear him say that to us in our heart as we have an experience with him. So This is, we might say, well, that's a one-way interaction. It is what Jesus is saying to them. But as I got to thinking about that, I thought about my own personal experience in this ordinance, that it is two ways. Not only do I experience the Lord making that comment when he says, and that is my attitude toward that. I believe that Jesus gave his body that he suffered and died for me. I believe that he shed his blood for me. And so that makes the observance of the Lord's Supper a very personal matter. And so there's two-way interaction related to that. Now you might say, well, preacher, what is your action then in return to that by taking that personal, that the Lord did that for you? Well, there's several things, and I sat down and I listed them as I thought of them. And my response would be that in taking the Lord's Supper, I'm making a declaration. And that declaration is, I have a no-so relationship with my Lord. I know he saved me. As unworthy as I am, I know that I'm saved. That's why I'm glad to participate in this ordinance. And I would say to my Lord, thank you for saving my unworthy soul. So I have a response or an action. Also, I'm making this declaration that I'm grateful for what he's done for me. I'm thankful for it. Did you know that when we worship the Lord, when we participate in worship service, when we do those kind of things, we are declaring how thankful we are for what the Lord did for us? As a matter of fact, that is the motivation for serving him. Why would you serve him? Why would you do it? And I tell you what, actually, I really think it ought to be sacrificial. You know, we shouldn't have the attitude, well, you know, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord when it's convenient for me. You know, we shouldn't think like that. We shouldn't have that kind of attitude. And we might say, well, I don't ever say anything like that. Well, sometimes we don't have to say it. We act it out, you know, that I'll serve him when it's convenient for me to serve him. But we ought to serve him because we're thankful for what he's done for us. And that's the motivation for that. Also, I communicate in the taking the Lord's Supper that for me, this is an awesome channel of worship for me. As a matter of fact, I've made this statement a lot of times related to this ordinance, that it's one of the greatest opportunities we have to worship him is in the Lord's Supper and all that it means. Also, I will be commemorating his work. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. I'll be commemorating his work on my behalf. And I'll be showing that I'm worthy for that. And you say, well, what does that work mean to you in saving my soul? I'm a saved person. And guess what? I'm sure thankful for that. I'm thankful for what he's done for me. And I don't care to tell people about it. I have a wonderful opportunity as a preacher of the gospel to communicate that very fact. Maybe more so than anybody else is to say that. And I do say that, and I mean it with all my heart. Then it's an opportunity for me to, like I've said, to examine myself. And that should be something that we don't just do when we're observing this ordinance, but we ought to do that daily. We ought to think about how weak we are and how prone we are to sin and neglect and those kind of things. We ought to be aware of that and aware of our errors, and we ought to thank the Holy Spirit for bringing them to our mind and attention and giving us opportunity to confess our sin and how unworthy that we are. I'll tell you tonight, the only worthiness that I have in taking the Lord's Supper is being in him and under his blood and being robed in his righteousness. You see, I don't have any other than that. And when the Lord saved me, not only did he take the penalty of himself, I thought this was neat, and I know he wouldn't care if I told it. I made a note this morning about Tommy Prather being here, and I've known Tommy Prather since I was a young lad, 12, 13 years old riding a school bus. Matter of fact, his brother Owen used to come and spend the night with us. And, you know, and so I've known him for a long time, and I mentioned him. And one of the things he said when he left here, and I thought this was neat, he said, you know, when I pray, I thank the Lord for the words, "It is finished." And he said, I think about people who come to the Lord and think they've got to finish it in order to make it in. You know, that's what he said. And then, of course, he went on to say, I thank the Lord for you for being my friend all these years and preaching to my family all these years. But, you know, that's something we ought to be thankful for, and we ought to recognize that that's the only worthiness we have. And wouldn't it be awful if I had the attitude, I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I'm worthy, because I've earned it, and because I'm finishing it, and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a humbling experience. You know, one of the wonderful things about observing this ordinance is that it is a wonderful experience, and it humbles us in that. And then I'm going to mention one more thing as I was reading these texts and thinking about it. When I take part in the Lord's Supper, I'm showing forth that I'm looking for Him to come back. And that's, as a matter of fact, that's what it says in the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. I'll read verse 26, and here's what it says. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till He comes. Well, He's coming back. And you know what? We won't be observing this ordinance anymore after He comes back. We'll be with Him. Amen? We'll be with Him. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we're showing forth the fact that we are looking for His return. I tell you what, it's a wonderful experience for the child of God to live their life thinking about His return. And I tell this story about my nephew. Many of you know Colin, my brother's son, and he talks about the Lord all the time. And, I mean, he really does. And we might think, well, he's a mentally challenged individual. Well, I tell you what, he's a whole lot smarter than people might think. And he talks about the Lord. Every once in a while, he'll say to me, you know, about every day I look toward the eastern skies and I think maybe today will be the day when the Lord comes back. Think about that, living one's life in the anticipation of the Lord's return. But that's what we're doing. All of these things, when we take this matter seriously, you know, the Lord didn't give the ordinances because He didn't have anything else to do. There's purpose in it. And the purpose is, part of the purpose is what I've been preaching on, that we may take it personally and experience it personally. So thank God for that. And we'll have a short invitation, and then we will dismiss this part of our service tonight, and the girls will get the elements of the Lord's Supper ready, and we'll observe that together. Father, thank You for this passage of Scripture, and I thank You that You showed me them two words, for You. And I believe that they can be applied to my life as others that know You tonight. And so that's what He did it for. I can't imagine the disciples that were gathered there, and Jesus looking them in the eye and said, I gave My body for you. I shed My blood for you. And so tonight, help us to make this a personal experience and to understand that what You did it for us. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Now would you stand with me, and Rick's going to lead us in a couple of verses.